Shalom, and welcome to Discipleship Discussion Podcast, the show where we talk about how discipleship to Messiah Yeshua informs our choices and actions in everyday life. My name is Ben Frosted, and with me today are Chris Stevens and David Johnson. Our conversation today is going to be about vision. This is our pilot episode for this podcast, and I think this is a great topic to start off with. So, we're going to discuss why each of us needs vision, and I'm going to suggest we need vision on three levels, and that's personal, family, and the corporate movement-wide or Body of Messiah level. So, first of all, when we're talking about vision, like, what are we talking about? What's a good working definition of vision?
One of the definitions that I really like to use when I'm talking about vision is a clear picture of a preferred future. That's one that I've found has worked really well.
Yeah, I think, and I've also heard it described as like a conviction of how things ought to be, right? Like you look at the world and you see a picture of what the way you think things should be, and it gives you a burden to act or to do something, right?
It's almost even like a dream. Like the dream of the future, what that could look like.
Yeah. I think an important thing that I've learned is that vision always involves like movement, right? It's not, your vision is not a description of where you are. We have to have a sense of, you know, there's a trajectory involved, right? There's a direction. It's a description of where we're headed.
The other day I was rushing out the door, and this is just a simple example of how vision works for me. Rushing out the door, I need to get somewhere in a hurry, jump in the van, start driving down the street, and I come to an intersection and I know I need to turn, but I've forgotten what my destination is, my final destination in the rush. And I realize, wow, I turn right on Circle Drive instead of going straight, and I'm going the wrong way. And I kind of do a head smack because I think, hey, if I don't remember where I'm going, how am I going to make the decisions today or right now on the highway that I need to make? So simple example of, if we don't know where we're going in the future, we can't make the decision right now that we're going to need to make.
So you could say that's kind of like a description of what it looks like when we don't have vision in our lives versus what it looks like to have a clear vision.
Exactly.
No, and there's, like we were talking about, Ben, I think there's the importance of having a personal vision and a family vision and then the movement-wide corporate vision. And so, like, just an example of how a personal vision has worked out in my life is I've had this desire to work with and mentor young men, and it's been sort of a recurring theme in my life for about as long as I can remember. It's just always sort of been there and percolating, and it's one of those things where I tried to do stuff on my own and manufacture a way of doing that never really worked. And so I just, you know, you get frustrated and sort of, you know, you question whether that's really something from God or a vision that you're really, do you keep pursuing and all those sorts of things. And then I just sort of let it be for a while, and the way God worked things out is I'm now in a position as an employer where I have a bunch of young men that work for me that I'm able to mentor and have a positive impact on their life in a way that I would never be able to impact them in sort of a ministry type setting. But it's more just that it's real life and work and the everyday situations that come that has allowed me to have an impact that I could have never dreamed of setting something up to do what I'm doing. And so for me, that was just a really, when I all of a sudden woke up and realized where I was and where we were, it's like, oh, this is the destination that God's had put in my heart for so long, and I've been walking towards this, but I couldn't do it on my own, and all of a sudden here it is.
So if you had started like an outreach center or a seeker friendly service, you would not have been able to reach those same people.
Absolutely. I even talked to them about them, and I said, you know, if I had a men's ministry, would you have come? And they flat up told me absolutely not. There's no way that they would walk into something like that.
Right.
That's funny. That reminds me of an experience I had at a fishing camp up north, and there was this old Texan named Bill, And he spoke into my life. He was a man of vision. And because he had vision, he was sharing that vision with me. And he was helping me, mentoring me as I was working at his camp. And it's like that vision can exude out of people who have vision to others around them as well.
Yeah.
Well, it's because the people that have vision, they see the positive impact that it had in their life. And they want that for everybody around them, right?
Mm-hmm. So I want to raise a possible objection to everything we've been talking about so far. You know, here we are saying that we need to have vision. Well, I could argue, well, shouldn't I just let God's Spirit lead me rather than trying to come up with some sort of vision, right? Like is me trying to come up with a vision, trying to take control of things and not, as opposed to, say, following the leading of God's Spirit. And, you know, I think of, for example, Proverbs 16, verse 9, that says, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. So what do you guys think?
Well, I think that, you know, God is ultimately going to have his way, absolutely. I think there's wisdom in planning, though, as well. Hmm. You know, doing nothing is a choice, and a lot of times it ends in, you know, Proverbs talks about how the lazy man does nothing and how if you're going to wage war, have plans and get advice and all those sorts of things. And so I think it's really important that we have, you know, that you're following, but you know that God has spoken to you, right? And it's, sometimes it's hard to know the difference between just a good idea and an idea from God. And what he is actually putting you into and you know, grooming you for and making you into the person for a specific task. And a really, I guess a good way of judging that is a good idea, you're going to have to work really, really hard and pursue it to make it happen. Whereas if it's God's idea, he's going to make it happen. We just have to be faithful and stay the course and walk through the direction that he gives, and he's going to make it happen.
Yeah, and sometimes we have this disconnect in our spirituality that my dream for the future is actually the enemy of God's dream, or it's contradicting his dream. But sometimes God places a dream deep inside our hearts that's actually his dream, and it's our dream, and that's okay. Sometimes we have a dream when we're a child, and it's actually a God-given dream, and it's not something we need to get rid of. I think of Joseph even as an example. He had this dream as a child, a literal dream, that he would be leading his whole family, leading the whole clan of Israel. And it was a God-given dream, but he kind of went about it in a really unhealthy, immature way. And so I think back on dreams I've had, and I wonder, you know, was that a fleshly dream, or was that actually a selfish dream? And sometimes I just need to stop myself and say, wow, you know, God might have planted that dream in my heart as a 5, 6, 7-year-old or as a teen because it was something he wanted me to pursue. That could even be leading the country. That could be being a leader in my family. Those are positive things for the kingdom.
It reminds me also of Moses. Like, you look in his life when he grows up and he goes out and looks at, you know, the Israelites, and he goes and kills the Egyptian and hides him in the sand and that sort of thing. It's like he had in his heart this idea that his job was to save his people, right? It's like he had a glimpse of that, but then he was going about it the wrong way and ended up fleeing and being a shepherd for 40 years before God finally called him and said, okay, now you're in the position where I can use you to accomplish that. So,
yeah, and I think sometimes we try and do it our own way, and you can almost try, you can try and do a godly vision in an incorrect fleshly way.
Yeah.
In a way that God, I think God, well, he needs it to be, he wants it to be that, you know, that there's no way that you can do it on your own, and there's no way that you can take the credit for doing it, because it's his vision, it's for his kingdom. Hmm. And he wants that humble spirit, and sometimes, you know, it takes us having a Moses type experience where you feel like your vision has died or whatever, to try and bring you to that place where he can resurrect it, and your heart is in the place where he can truly use it and you're not going to take a huge amount of pride and get puffed up by what he's doing.
And Chris, maybe there's an element of seasoning in that too.
Absolutely.
As we grow and mature, God is seasoning us and maturing us. And earlier on, we can be more impetuous, more immature, seeking the dream, even the kingdom dream, in the flesh, and going about it the wrong way, where God is saying, wait, you might need some time in the wilderness with the sheep till I can hone you and take down a few of the rough edges. Then we're going to do this together. Because fulfilling the vision, and the vision, it's about doing it with God and not necessarily for God. I mean, this is with him.
Yeah, well, I mean, going back to that verse from Proverbs 16, the heart of man plans his way, but the Lord establishes his steps. I mean, you know, the verse, it's not saying that it's wrong to make plans, but it's saying that if we're trying to make plans and they're contrary to God's counsel, those plans are going to fail, right? It's God's plans, it's his counsel that will prevail and that will be established. And so to me, that verse actually highlights the need for having a godly vision as opposed to a self-centered vision or a vision grounded in our flesh, right? So, you know, it's just like, trust in the Lord with all your heart and don't lean on your own understanding, right? In all your ways, acknowledge him and he'll direct your paths or make your path straight. So by acknowledging him, by having a vision that's for what his desires are, you know, seeking his desires, we're actually aligning ourselves with his purposes for our lives.
So what, in a practical way, in your guys' life, why is vision so important? Like what does it actually practically do in your life? I know for me, it's kind of almost like a budget for me, in that it creates a grid work that allows you to say no to things that would otherwise, you'd spend a lot of time and energy wondering if that is the decision that you should make. It helps you take away so that you can be much more effective and efficient in actually pursuing what you're supposed to be doing, as opposed to running after all these different areas that we all have, the right distractions.
Right. Yeah, I think definitely in decision making, a vision is very important. I can give an example from my own life. One of the things my wife and I did is put together a bit of a family vision. And it was fairly simple, but several points. One of the points was that we want to raise our family to be able to follow God's commandments, and we want to be able to practice hospitality. And so when it came time where we were looking for a house to buy, we were able to use our vision as a grid to weed out options that did not line up with our vision. So, you know, we were looking for a place where we would be able to practice hospitality, where we could have guests and host people and that sort of thing. So a larger dining room was a big thing, or a place where we can at least have a larger table and a place to host guests. So I think definitely decision making is, you need a vision, right? You need a vision to help keep you on track, and it makes it easier to make decisions, quite frankly. It eliminates a lot of possibilities,
which is actually freeing.
It is.
Counterintuitively. It's the fewer options you have, the more freedom you feel, which is, yeah, it's a funny it's a funny thing that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, for me, vision really helps me think about the future and not just the present, because it makes me live more sustainably, whether it's physically or spiritually. Just realizing that I need to think about tomorrow and not push myself or my family as hard as we can go. Mm-hmm. So part of my vision statement is that I'm the beloved disciple of Yeshua, like John the disciple, resting in him. So I realize that without true rest and real deep relationship with Yeshua, that I can't live sustainably. So realizing that the future is so important and I need to be living my now with a lot of thought for tomorrow.
Well, that's, and so much of it is based around, feeling like you know what to do, right? Like the wisdom. So like, yeah, one of the major points in my family vision statement is the wisdom to know what to do and the courage to do it. Just because I see it as a, you know, both are so important, because a lot of us, I think we know what to do, but we lack the courage, or we charge ahead because we have a lot of courage and it's unwise decisions that we make. And so I think right. the two paired together are so important.
Mm. Yeah, and definitely. Well, I think a lot of us have a weakness of thinking about the here and now and not really thinking about the future. And this applies in so many different areas, but, you know, like so many of us are just basically surviving, right? We go from day to day and we're not thinking about where we're going. And maybe we're afraid of it, right? Maybe we're afraid to think too much about that. And I think too on like of the messianic movement as a whole, right? I think this is a weakness that we have, is that oftentimes we're too focused on the present and we're not thinking enough about the future. And like you said, David, that affects sustainability, not only on a personal level, but also on a corporate level, right? We have to be thinking about the next generation. And, you know, as a father, that's a big burden on my heart. Since my wife and I have children, that's been something I've been thinking about a lot, is I want to be able to leave a legacy of faith for my children, right? I want to leave behind something lasting, something of value, something that they can own, right? I want them to be able to make this their own. So, you know, having a vision on a corporate level for the messianic movement, for what it will look like, you know, 10 years from now, what it will look like 20 years from now, I think that's really important.
Well, and we've even talked, Ben, about, you know, for our families as well as for the messianic movement, the larger movement, of the importance of having, yeah, the intergenerational plan. Like what we talk about sometimes is like having a 200-year plan where... Yeah. You know, it's long enough range that you're not rushed into making really fast decisions now, but you're wanting to put the bedrock foundation pieces in place for the next generation to build on, and making sure that you're not making a weak foundation, mm-hmm. and a, you know, having traditions and things like that that people can grab onto and really pass on and have it be sustainable and have a longevity to it.
Right. Yeah. Hey, that's quite something to think of. What would I like my family to look like 200 years from now? You know, I'm not even going to be around if the Messiah tarries that long. I'm not even, you know, I won't even be alive to see that. Mm-hmm. But what would I like that to look like? And what should I be doing? What can I be doing right now to help ensure that kind of outcome?
Just on the generational topic, I could share a story. I think about my great-grandfather in England. He was an orphan, and he was adopted by a Canadian sailor, and that's how he came to Canada. And just thinking about what does our history look like as families, maybe that sometimes ties into what our calling is. And I think part of the generational calling on my family is adoption. I think without adoption, where would my grandfather have been? On the streets of London somewhere. And so I think acceptance and adoption is a huge part of what my family has needed. And even through the generations, sometimes we see the generational curses and we're more in touch with that. But think about the opposite of the generational curse in your family. And that could be a key to discovering, hey, what is the calling on my family?
And even just what you're touching on there, David, is part of vision is also acknowledging the past, right? And there's a very close relationship between history, the past, and vision, which is the future, right? I've heard it said that the best visionaries are also the best historians. So the better we're able to see into the past, the more clearly we'll be able to see into the future. And I always think of what the angel of the Lord said to Hagar in Genesis 16, verse 8, where the angel says, "Where have you come from and where are you going?" And that's a question, you know, that I think we should ask ourselves every now and then. Where have we come from and where are we going? Because the two questions go together, right? Answering the one helps you answer the other.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Well, and so like as this podcast and part of Segula and all those, you know, as trying to have an impact on the greater messianic movement, what are some of the things that we're trying to do, Ben, that, you know, will have that positive impact and mm-hmm. try and lay some of the foundation for vision and, longevity and all those sorts of things.
Yeah, definitely. I think it's important for us as a messianic movement to understand some of our history. I think, well, this is a very young movement in a sense, but in another sense, there's a long history behind us and forebearers that we don't know about, forefathers, I guess you could say, predecessors in this that affect us today. And so part of my burden is just understanding more of our history and understanding more of who we are as a movement and getting an idea for where we're headed. And so part of my research that I've been doing includes a survey that we've done, which we have the results available for that, and we'll probably talk about that sometime on this show as well.
Excellent.
But yeah, definitely, I think as a people, you know, as messianic believers, we need to get a grasp of where we've come from, you know, not just individually, you know, as families, but also as a movement.
Hey, Ben, on that topic, whether it's personally, familially, or as a movement, sometimes it's really difficult to slow down enough to think, but realizing it is so important, like you're saying, to just stop and think deeply about the positive side and the negative side of where we've been. And sometimes that hurts.
Yes.
Like to stop and slow down enough to get in touch with the depths of our heart and realize we've made bad choices, we've experienced hurt, we've been through situations that were really hard, maybe in family life or relationally, but we need to get in touch with that to understand what has happened in the past and what is the future going to look like as we move on.
Yeah, definitely. And we don't always like what we see.
Well, and if you don't take the time, you're just going to repeat it. Like, you're just going to repeat the pattern that you have right now, and you're not even going to be aware of it or be able to make a conscious choice if that's the legacy and vision that you want to carry forward.
Right. Those who don't learn from history are doomed to repeat it, as they say.
That's so true. I've been realizing lately how important values are to vision as well. And without clearly defined values, it's difficult to make the decisions each day that we need to make. So vision and values go hand in hand.
Yeah. Speaking of defined values, how would you define a value?
Yeah, it's one of those terms that, you know, can sometimes be ambiguous, but I think us as believers, as messianic believers for sure, the Torah is our mirror, you know, like it says in James 1:22-25, that the Torah is our mirror, and that's supposed to reflect to us who we are. So we should be able to look into the Torah and see our future, that we see who we are becoming. And not be the person that that turns away and totally forgets who they are, but that those values are cemented in us and become the bedrock that the vision flows out of, and that will propel us into becoming more like Christ, that it will reflect the Torah.
Right. Yeah. And in the scriptures we see both our past, our history.
Yeah.
And the vision, you know, the future. So our values then are basically like the how through which we accomplish the vision, right?
Yeah, so if we're getting rubber to the road, what do you guys think this looks like? How do you develop your vision for yourself, for your family?
I think definitely an obvious thing, like we were talking about, is that a true godly vision has to be in line with God's word, in line with his character, and in line with his plans for us. So, you know, prayer and being immersed in God's word are, you know, the obvious prerequisites.
Yeah, I think like we've talked about, slowing down and just letting it work. You know, like we've talked about, those dreams that we feel God has put in our hearts, sometimes it takes a while to make sure that it's something that's truly from God and that it's something that you want to devote your life to. So like a rule that I kind of use is, if I'm still excited about something in a year and I can't seem to shake it, and I just almost am exploding to try and make something happen and to affect whatever it is that I'm passionate about, that's a pretty good indication that I need to pay close attention to that, because it may be something that God's calling me to devote my life to. And so that's one of the one of the measuring sticks I use.
Right. So let it percolate.
Yes.
Yeah, I wrote my vision statement down just to memorialize it and to remember it so I can look at it every day, put it up on the wall.
Yeah.
I made a shorter version of it as well for the lock screen on my phone.
Nice.
So every time I open up my phone, I'm like, ah, I can remember this. And yeah, it really can define what we're doing each day. It'll help us remember what that vision is.
Yeah, writing it down helps to solidify it and make it more tangible.
Yeah, and I think doing it in a group, even collaborating with a friend, that may be really beneficial to some people. Keeping it connected to your passions is really important too. It shouldn't be sterile.
Right.
This can be very exciting. It can have a lot of color to it. You can make it into a piece of art. You know, you make your personal vision statement and put it on the wall, like something that you want to remember and you're proud of.
I know we have ours on our wall, and we also came up with a code of conduct to go along with it that's very short and point form that we're able to teach our kids, and they have it memorized. And so it's really easy now where you can just refer to the code of conduct, and it points them in the direction that we're wanting them to go.
All right. Well, with that, we're going to wrap up our conversation for this time. So the Discipleship Discussion podcast is brought to you by Segula.net. Our goal is to cast a vision for a healthy and mature messianic movement and deal with issues that affect our everyday lives as disciples of Yeshua. If you have suggestions for topics that we should discuss on this show, send us an email at feedback@segula.net. Whether you're messianic, Christian, Torah observant, or whatever lingo you prefer, we hope this conversation has been a blessing to you. And together, may we all become a glorious people in Messiah.